Now today is Vraha Appearance Day, Vraha Dwadasi, 2008. So I thought we should hear something about the appearance of Lord Vraha. And this is described. Of course, there's two appearances of Vraha, the first Manvantara and the second Manvantara. But before we discuss the Bhagavatam, I thought we could hear from Murari Gupta's Sri Krishna Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, second Prakrama, second Sarga. Kadachit daiva yogena harir dina nukampaya yayo vaidya maradesa vatya premar dalochana. Once by divine arrangement, Sri Hari, whose eyes are tender with love due to compassion for lowly persons, came to the house of the physician Murari. Devita griha madye sampravish yo pavishyat bibu apluta prema dhara bir nirjarer iva paravata. The sense-controlled Lord Gaurahari entered the deity room of Murari Gupta's house, and he sat down, overwhelmed by currents of love that appeared like waterfalls gushing down a mountainside. Aho ma danta yugmena dudat yesha mahabala vraha parvatakara iti uktva pasaram kramat. Gaurahari said, "Oh, this very powerful boar, appearing like a great mountain, is attacking me with his two tusks." So saying, Gora slowly backed away. Homam hi tudatyesha dashane shukarottama idyuktva pasasarashu punareva mahaprabhu. "Oh, this best among boars is striking me with his tusks." Saying this, Mahaprabhu backed away very rapidly. Tata shanain eshvaratva bhavena darshayan swayam tanubhya bhumim alambhya kara yugmena savrajam. Then after a moment, Gaurahari displayed an ecstatic mood of the Supreme Lord appearing in the form of a boar. Thus he clambered around the courtyard on his hands and knees. Just imagine. Assuming the bhava of Varaha the boar, Lord Chaitanya got down on his hands and knees and started crawling around the ground. Artulam bhuja netrena hunkarena anu nadayam dadara dashanagrena vaitala jalapatrikam. Gaurahari's lotus eyes became big and round, and his roaring reverberated loudly as he lifted up a brass water pot and held it on the tips of his teeth. Shanam onmukata kritwa paschadritwa tupaitalam patram uche sarupame varasweti murarigam. For a moment, Gaurahari raised his face upwards and then took the brass pot in his hand and commanded this lowly Murari, "Describe this original form of mine." Sapravacha namanbhumo vismito drisha ishvara naha vedmi sarupate bhagavan vanajekshana. Bowing down on the earth, Murari spoke in wonder, "O illustrious Lord, whose eyes resemble the blue lotus of the forest, you are the supreme controller of all things, and indeed the worthy object of my vision. Yet I am unable to comprehend this original form of yours." Swayam evatmanatmana vetatva purushottama iti gitokta vachasa vadantasa punapuna. Again and again, Murari uttered the words spoken by Arjuna to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Indeed, you alone know yourself by your own potencies, O Supreme Person. Now here's something from Srimad Bhagavatam about the appearance of Lord Varaha, which is described in chapter 13, 18 and 19 of the third canto. There's two different Varahas. In the beginning of creation, the first Manu, Svayambhuva Manu, or the first Manu, and then in the sixth Manu, two Varahas appeared. In chapter 13, it describes how Manu, Svayambhuva Manu, after he saw the predicament of the earth, half of the universe, where the earth is situated, we're situated in the top half, and the bottom half of this universe is filled with water, which is the perspiration emanating from the body of Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. That's his perspiration, transcendental perspiration. It's called the Garbhodak Ocean. So the earth is usually floating in space. But the demon Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu's brother, older brother, he pushed the earth planet under the water. Like when a kid's playing in the lake, or the Yamuna may have a ball. He takes the ball and he pushes it underwater and he holds it there. So it's submerged in the water. Hiranyaksha, the elder brother of Hiranyakashipu, he's so powerful that for play, he took the earth planet. He's so huge and powerful, and gigantic, that he took the earth planet like a ball and he just pushed it under the Garbhodak Ocean. So that wasn't too good for everyone on earth. There wasn't any scuba tanks in those days, no aqualung, so people couldn't stand under the water too long. So Manu was in distress, the father of mankind. So he approached Lord Brahma, his father. And then he said, Yadoka sarabhutanam mahimagna mahambasi asya udarane yantno deva devya vidiyatam. O master of the demigods, please lift the earth if you can, which is merged in the great water of the Garbhodak Ocean, because the earth is the dwelling place for all living entities. This can be done by your endeavor and the mercy of the Lord. So it's very interesting, although the verse in Sanskrit doesn't indicate mercy of the Lord, but this is the translation Prabhupada is giving us. Because this is a fact, man proposes and God disposes, even from the beginning of creation. And this is Satyuga, the very beginning of creation, Satyuga, the first Yuga, Satyuga. And the first demon, Hiranyaksha, and the first Manu, Svayambhuva Manu, and Lord Brahma, the secondary creator of everything. So Prabhupada is indicating that he's a secondary creator, or immediate creator. And of course Vishnu is the efficient creator, the Adikarta, or Adishistikarta. But for a devotee, or for anyone for that matter, especially a devotee, he may endeavor, or he may try to serve the Lord, or execute some service on behalf of the Lord. That's only part of the success formula. The other half of the success formula is Kripa, Bhagavan Kripa, Guru Kripa, the mercy of Bhagavan. Maitreya Vacha, this is a conversation, third canto of Maitreya, Maitreya Muni and Vidura. Maitreya Vacha, Parameshti Topam Madhye, Tata Sanam Avekshyagam, Katam enam samuneshya eti tadyo diyachiram. Maitreya said, thus seeing the earth merged in the water, Brahma gave his attention for a long time how it could be lifted. Dadyo diyachiram. The Prabhupada often said that work is done, all work is actually done in the mind, in the subtle body. Work or accomplishment or activity, or deeds, or duties, or something you want to do, or create, or build, or make, or accomplish. It's all first done in the mind. The senses in the body the body and the body senses and the muscles and organs of action, the five working senses and knowledge acquiring senses. They all work under the dictates of the mind and intelligence, man, buddhi, hankar, and atma. So first the mind has an idea, and then that's the conception, seed of an idea. Then it begins thinking and deeply thinking. It's called manana. Manana means concentration. And one applies his intelligence, his discrimination, his experience, his sanskaras, purva sanskaras. And he deeply thinks over the matter before acting. Prabhupada once said that an intelligent man, he may be quoting Chanaka Pandit, I don't know. Prabhupada said an intelligent man thinks twice before speaking. What to say about acting, doing a very great action, a big accomplishment, we should think it over from all angles of vision, from the past, the future, the consequences, people involved, repercussions, and my repercussions on me or other people, or the impact my action or activity will have on my environment, on nature, my surroundings, my home, my body, my relatives, my friends, my devotee friends, whatever. And ultimately, we should trace everything out to the center, to the pleasure of Krishna, anukulyasya sankalpa, accepting everything, all decisions that we make, all actions that we perform, all decisions that we make and all actions we perform should be traced out to the center and root of all existence. The center and root of all existence is Sri Krishna's pleasure, Bhagavan Santosh. Whatever we think, however we feel, however we speak, or whatever we do in action, in this plane of action, should be for the pleasure and satisfaction, Bhagavan Santosh, satisfaction and pleasure of Krishna, without any ego, without free from ulterior motives, anyabhilashita, free from abhilash, karma and gyan. All our decisions, our thinking, our intellectual meditations and final actions that we decide to perform should be free from abhilash, karma and gyan, desire, wants, karma, and speculation and gyan. So he thought for a long time, diya, dadyo diya chiram, how could it be lifted? How can I lift this earth planet, this vast earth planet has fallen, has been pushed. So these topics are the Shweta Varaha millennium regarding the Chakshusha millennium. So Brahma was thinking, Srijito me shatir varbi plavyamana rasamgata ahatra kim anushteyam asmabi sagayojite yasyaham ridyat asam saisho viradatu me. While I have been engaged in the process of creation, the earth has been inundated by a deluge and has gone down into the depths of the ocean. What can we do who are engaged in this matter of creation? It is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. This is Ridya Isham. Ridya Ridayat Asam Isha Vidadhatu. So he wants the Parameshwara, the Super Soul, to direct him. So this is the position of all devotees, all servitors of the Lord. They sometimes become perplexed or confused or bewildered or doubtful about the course of their activities or their respective sevas and services. But they're never discouraged, because we know we have a loving friend. We have the kind guidance. Our guardian, a guardian is above our head. The guardian's eye, the sun and the moon are the two eyes of the Lord. In the day, the sun is watching over us. At night, the moon is watching over us. In all times, in all places, in all circumstances. The watchful eye, the loving eye of the guardian, the Supreme Lord, is always over our head. It's told in Rig Veda. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada Pashyanti Surayo Rudiva Chakshur Tatam Tavi praso drugivamsa samindate vishnariyat paramparam. The chakshuratatam, the all-pervading eye, the eye of guidance, the eye of intelligence, the eye of protection, the eye of inspiration, the eye of love, the eye of compassion. This is the eye of Krishna, the eye of our Lord, our Master, our Prananath, our Gopinath. He's always above our head, always shining on us and guiding us. Krishna Sriya Sama Maya Hai Andakara. Maya is a world of misconception, darkness, ignorance, forgetfulness, and illusion, suffering, misery. Maya Hai Andakara. But Krishna Sriya Sama Maya. So this Krishna life, Krishna conception, this is a life full of light, enlightenment, Surya. So Om Tad Vishnu Paramsara. Now Maitreya continues narrating to Madhura. Iti yabid dayato nasa vivarat sahasanaga varaha toko niragad angushta parimanaka. O sinless Vidura, all of a sudden, while Brahma was engaged in thinking, a small baby boar came out of his nostril. The measurement of this creature was not more than the upper portion of a thumb, angushta. So this, out of Brahma's nose, of one of his foreheads, came a baby boar. Usually other things come out, but this boar was half the size of a thumb. Lilliputian boar, sewer. So within a minute, after coming out of his nose, Brahma was looking at him with most surprise. He immediately ran up in the sky and became as big as a great elephant. Brahma was struck with wonder seeing this wonderful boar in the sky. And then all of Brahma's Manasaputras, Marichi, Kumaras, and Manu, they began arguing about the identity of this boar. Who is this? What is it? Is this some extraordinary entity come in the pretense of a boar? They thought it was some mystic yogi or demigod disguising himself as a boar. It's very wonderful. He has come from my nose. First he was only the size of half my thumb. Now he's as big as a huge boulder, big rock. My mind is disturbed. Is he the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu? So while Brahma was deliberating with his Manasaputras and sons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, Bhagavan, Varaha, roared tumultuously like a great mountain. Brahmanam harshayam me asa haristam cha dvijotamam sagarjitena kukubha pratisvanat yata vibhu. The omnipotent personality of Godhead enlivened Brahma and the other elevated Brahmanas by again roaring with his uncommon voice which echoed in all directions. Nishamyate gargaritam sakera shayishnamaya maya sukarasya janastapasatya nivasinaste chibi pavitrer munayo grinansma. When the great sages and thinkers residing on Janalok, Tapalok, and Satyalok heard the tumultuous voice of Lord Varaha, which was the all auspicious sound of the all merciful Lord, they chanted auspicious chants from the three Vedas. Tesham sata veda vitana murtir Brahma vada vadhar yatma gunana vadam vinadya bhuya vibhudodayaya gajendra lilo jalamavi avavesha. Playing like an elephant, Bhagavan Varaha dove into the water after roaring again in reply to the Vedic hymns chanted by the great rishis and sages. That Lord, who is the object of the Vedic prayers, understood that the devotee's prayers were meant as glorification of him. Ukshiptavala kachara katora sata vidunvan kara roma shatvak kurahatabra sitadamsha iksha jyotir bhavase bhagavan mahidra. Before entering the water to rescue the earth from the Garbhadak ocean, Lord Boar flew in the sky, slashing his tail, his hard hairs quivering. His very glance was luminous, and he scattered the clouds in the sky with his hooves and his glittering white tusks. Granena pritya paravim vijigran krura paresha swayam advaranga karaladam strop yakarala drigyam udviksha vipran krinato vishatkam. Bhagavan Varaha was personally the Supreme Lord Vishnu and was therefore transcendental. But because he had appeared in the body of a pig, he searched after the earth by smell using his nose, his snout. His tusks were fearful, and he glanced over the devotee brahmanas engaged in offering prayers. Then he entered the water. Savajrakutanga nipatta vega vishirna kukshi stanayanudanvan utshishta digormi bujeri vatra ivartash chukrosha yageshvara pahi mahiti. He plunged in the water like a great mountain. Then Lord Boar divided the middle of the ocean, and two high waves appeared like the arms of the ocean, which cried loudly as if praying to the Lord, O Lord of all sacrifices, Yageshwara, please do not cut me into two. Kindly give me protection. Kure shurapreer darayam shtarapa utparaparam triparu rasayam nadarshagam tatra sushupshuragre yam jivadanim swayam abhyadatta. Bhagavan Varaha penetrated the water with his hooves, which were like sharp arrows, and he found the limits of the ocean, although it was unlimited. He saw the earth, the resting place for all living entities, lying as if it was in the beginning of creation, and he personally lifted. Sadam strayodritya mahimni magnam sa utita samruruche rasaya tetrapidaityam garayapatantam sunabhasandipita tivramanyu. Bhagavan Varaha very easily took the earth on his tusks and it got out of the water. He appeared very splendid. Then his anger, glowing like the Sudarshan disc, he immediately killed the demon Hiranyaksha, although he tried to fight with the Lord. Jagana rundanam asaya vikramam salila yebam mrigaradivam basi tarakna panka kita kanda tundo yata gajendro jagatim vibindhan. Thereupon Lord Boar killed the demon within the water, just as a lion kills an elephant. The cheeks and tongue of the Lord became smeared with the blood of the demon Hiranyaksha, just as an elephant becomes reddish from digging in the purple earth. Tamala nilam sitadanta kotya ukshipantam gajalilayanga bhagyaya badana jalayo nuvakar virinchimukya apatastarisham. Then the Lord, playing like an elephant, suspended the earth on the edge of his curved white tusks. He assumed a bluish complexion like that of a tamal tree, and the sages headed by Brahma could then understand that Varaha was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Bhagavan Varaha. Then they offered prayers and respectful obeisances to the Lord. The rishis prayed in glorification of Bhagavan Lord Varaha with great respects. O unconquerable enjoyer of all sacrifices, all glories and victories unto you. You are moving in your form of the personified Vedas, and the hair holes of your body. The oceans are submerged. To lift up the earth from the Garbhodak ocean, you have now assumed the form of a boar. O Bhagavan, your form is worshipable by performances of sacrifices. But souls who are simply miscreants are unable to see your form. All the Vedic hymns, Gayatri, and others are in the touch of your skin. In your bodily hairs is kusha grass. In your eyes is the clarified butter. And in your four legs are the four kinds of fruit of activities. O Lord, your tongue is a plate of sacrifice, the shruk, and your nostrils another plate of sacrifice. Your belly is the eating place of yajna, and another plate of sacrifice is the holes of your ears, and your mouth is the brahma plate of sacrifice. Your throat is a plate of sacrifice known as soma, and whatever you chew is known as Agnihotra. The repetition of your appearance is a desire for all kinds of initiation. Your neck is a place for three desires, and your tusks are the result of initiation and the end of all desires. Your tongue is the prior activities of initiation. Your head is the fire without sacrifice, as well as the fire of worship, and your living forces are the aggregate of all desires. O Lord, your semen is a sacrifice called Soma Yajna. Your growth is the ritualistic performances of the morning. Your skin and touch sensations are the seven elements of the Agni Shtoma Yajna. Your bodily joints are symbols of various other sacrifices performed in 12 days. You are the object of all sacrifices called Soma and Asoma, and you are bound by yajnas only. O Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Mantra Devata, Akila Mantra Devata, Namo Namaste Akila Mantra Devata. Worship by universal prayers, Vedic hymns, and sacrificial ingredients. We offer our obeisances unto you. You can be realized by the pure mind, freed from all visible and invisible material contamination. We offer our respectful obeisances to you as the supreme spiritual master of knowledge and devotional service. O lifter of the earth, the earth with its mountains, which you have now lifted with your tusks, is situated as beautifully as a lotus flower, with leaves sustained by an infuriated elephant just coming out of the water. O Lord, as the peaks of great mountains become beautiful when decorated with clouds, your transcendental body has become beautiful because of your lifting the earth on the edge of your tusks. And then this is, of course, this is chapter 13. This is text 42. So samstapayainam jagatam satashtusham lokaya patnim asimataram pita vedema chasya namasa sahatvaya yasyam svate jognim ivaranavadha. O Lord, for the residential purposes of all inhabitants, both moving and non-moving, this earth is your wife. Lokaya patnim. And you are the Supreme Father. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you, along with Mother Earth, in whom you have invested your own potency. Just as an expert sacrificer puts fire in the Arani wood. This is Swateja. Yasyam Swatejo Adha. Swatejo Adha. That you have invested Mother Earth with your potency. Actually, later we hear from the Acharyas that when Varaha lifted the earth, Mother Bhumi, of course, is female. So when the predominator, the Shaktiman, or the Purusha, contacted the Prakriti, Mother Bhumi, and they joined together, and he impregnated, Bhagavan Varaha impregnated Mother Bhumi. They had union. So it's quite correct, the sages are saying here, she's Swapatni. She is your Patni. And Swatejo Adha. You invested your own potency, that means his own creative potency, or semen, into Mother Bhumi, and the child that was produced as a result of the combination of Varaha, Bhagavan Varaha, and Mother Bhumi was known as Bhomasura, the son of Mother Bhumi and Varaha. And because of bad association, he later became known as Narakasura. And of course, that's described in 10th canto. But to continue with the prayers of the sages and glorification of Varaha, text 43. Who else but you, Bhagavan Varaha, could deliver the earth submerged in the water? It is not very wonderful for you, however, because you acted most wonderfully in the creation of the universe. By your energy, you have created this wonderful cosmic manifestation. O Supreme Lord, O Bhagavan, undoubtedly, we rishis and sages are living on the most pious planets in the universe, namely Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka. But still, we have become purified by the drops of water sprinkled from your shoulder hairs by the shaking of your body. O Bhagavan, there is no limit to your wonderful qualities and activities. Anyone who desires to know the limit of your activities is certainly nonsensical. Brastamati says, Savai bata brastamatista vaishate. Brastamati means your intelligence. Anyone who wants to know the end of the infinite Lord with his finite brain and intelligence and wants to reach the end of the Lord who is infinite, he is brashtamati. Mati, his intelligence is brushed, broken. He's nonsense. Everyone in this world is conditioned by the powerful mystic potencies. Please bestow your causeless mercy upon these conditioned souls. So that's the prayers of the great rishis and sages living on the highest planets in the material universe, Janaloka and Tapaloka, Satyaloka. Now Maitreya Muni continues speaking to Vidura. And Bhagavan Varaha, being thus worshipped by the greatest sages and transcendentalists, touched the earth with his hooves and placed it on the water. In this manner, Bhagavan, Lord Vishnu, the maintainer of all living entities, raised the earth from within the water, and having placed it afloat on the water, he returned to his own abode. Yevametam harimedaso hare katam subhadram kataniya madmayena shanvita bhaktya Shavayeta voshatim janardanos yashu riddhi prasidati. If one hears and describes in a devotional service attitude, bhaktiya, with bhakti, this auspicious narration of Lord Bor, Bhagavan Vraha, which is worthy of description, and Bhagavan, the Lord, who is within the heart of everyone, will become very pleased. Janardan. The next verse, these are called the Shruti Phal. Usually at the end of a chapter, or even the end of an astikam, or prayer, the Kavi, or Srila Vyasadeva, or Shukamuni, etc. They give some verses of blessing for those who hear or sing the astikams or stories of the Bhagavat with great devotion, attention, submission, and faith. They get these blessings. Tasmin prasane sakalashisham prabho kim durlabham tabir alam lavatmabi ananya jistya bhajatam guhashaya swayam vidatte swagatim paraparam. This is text 49. Nothing remains unattainable when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with someone. By transcendental achievement, one understands everything else to be insignificant. One who engages in transcendental loving service is elevated to the highest perfectional stage by the Lord Himself, who is seated in everyone's heart. Guha. Guha ashaya. We say gufa. Gufa means cave. Andam griham. Griham anda kupam. Kupam also means well. Guha. Guha ashaya. It's asha. He's residing in the heart. This is the same in Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satata yuktanam. Bhajatam priti purvakam. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Yena mam upyanti te. Krishna is telling those who worship him with love and devotion, he gives the intelligence by which they can come to him. This is part of the Chatu Shloki, the Bhagavad Gita, the four most important verses sometimes told. Chapter 10, verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. Te sham satata yuktanam. Bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upyanti te. Prabhupada translates the verse: to those who are constantly devoted and serving me with love, bhajatam priti purvakam, I give the understanding, tadami buddhi, by which they can come to me, mam upyanti. The same thing that's being said here in the Shruti Phal, that one who engages in bhakti by the mercy of the super soul or the guru within the heart, the antaryami, the inner guru, the internal guide, well-wisher, protector, maintainer, inspirer, enlivener, knowledge giver, trainer, answer giver, doubt remover, Krishna in the heart, he will elevate one to the highest perfectional stage. It says, swagatim paraparam, paraparam, supreme, the topmost supreme transcendental goal or destination he will attain. Because Krishna, it's Prabhupada is telling very beautifully in his purport, that a pure devotee who is constantly engaged in the service of the Lord, with faith, he will never become frustrated, because the Lord personally takes charge of the devotee's spiritual advancement. right from inside the heart. No outside factor, right from inside the heart. Krishna's in the heart of every devotee. And he knows the devotee's motive. What is the desire, ambition, the inner motive and heart's desire of the devotee? Krishna knows very well. And therefore he arranges everything possible and achievable for that devotee. So one merely has to become sincere in his purpose, then Krishna is there to help in every way. Kunamaloke purushartasa saravit purakatanam bhagavat katasudham apiya karnanjali bir bhavapaham aho virajeta vina naretaram. This is the last verse, number 50 of chapter 13, describing the Varaha, the appearance of Bhagavan Varahadev. And it said, who other than one who is not a human being can exist in this world and not be interested in the ultimate goal of life? So basically what they're saying is, the Purushartha is ko nama, ko nam loke Purushartha saravit. Saravit. Vit means Veda, to know. Sara means the essence. Pura kata, pura, like purana, puranam kata, the past history. So who is there, in other words, the sages or this, who's ever speaking, maybe this Maitreya is speaking here, or Shukadev in the Shruti fall. Only human being who is an animal, like an animal brain or animal, is not interested in the Purushartha, the ultimate goal of life. Who can refuse the nectar of narrations about the personality of Godhead's activities, which by itself can deliver one from all material pangs? Karna Anjali, Anjalibi, Anjali, Karna. So the submissive ears, the ears of submission, Anjali, Karna. When the ears are submitted to hearing this beautiful katha, Bhagavat katha sudham, like we say, Radhara sudha, sudha nidhi. Bhagavat katha sudham, the nectar, the sudha, the nectar, the juice, the ambrosia of Bhagavad Gita. If someone refuses to hear this Bhagavad Gita Sudam, then there's no chance that he can be free from the miseries of this material world. Bhavapaham. Apaham. Because this, the Bhava Sagar, the ocean of material existence, can be destroyed by such hearing. Now, we go on. Chapter 18 and 19 in the third canto of Bhagavatam. This describes more of the battle between Lord Bor and Hiranyakashipu. Chapter 13, he just knocked him once and he was dead. It wasn't much of a fight. And of course, we know that the Lord Narayan wanted to fight. So Jai and Vijay, they agreed to take part in the Lord's Leela, his Viraharas. Chivalry, Viraras, Leela. Although they were Dasyas, they were the gatekeepers of the Lord. They were in Dasyabhav, Shantabhav, and Dasyabhav, Jai and Vijay. But the Lord's, for the Lord's pleasure and satisfaction, because he wanted to have the pleasure of fighting, Jai and Vijay agreed to become opponents to the Lord, antagonistic to the Lord, although internally they're always eternal associates, eternal devotees. They played the role like a drama, a Leela, a play. They assumed the outer complexion and outer attitude of demons. And of course, one form of Varaha was born from the nostril. One form of Varaha we just read about, he was born from the nostril. Now this form of Varaha was born as a son of Diti, the mother of the demons. So Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, that's in Satyuga. Then in Treta Yuga, it's Ravana and Kumbhakarna. This is Jayavijaya's second millennium birth to oppose the Lord, Ramachandra, and fight with the Lord as Ramachandra. And then Satyuga, they fought with the Lord as Varaha. And then in Dwapara Yuga, they came as Dantavakra and Kamsa. Kamsa and Dantavakra. Or was it? I think it was Shishupal. Shishupal and Dantavakra. They became Shishupal and Dantavakra to fight with the Lord. And sometimes it's said by Gaudiya Acharyas that in Kali Yuga, they came again to take part in Gauranga's Audarya Leela, his Parishishta Leela, the epilogue, the final, the concluding portion of Krishna's Dwapara Leela. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu came. And then, of course, there wasn't any fighting because of the influence of the Prem Avatar, Nitai Prem, Nitai Kripa, and Gauranga Prem. But it's sometimes said that Jaya and Vijaya came also in the fourth yuga, in Kali Yuga, although the story in Bhagavatam says they took three births as demons. But they came as Jaya and Vijaya. But of course, Lord Chaitanya didn't cut their heads off with his chakra, as he did in other times, or vanquish them, vanquish those demons with his claws. He blessed them with prem. So this is the battle of Lord Varaha, Bhagavan Varaha, and the demon Hiranyakashipu. In the beginning of creation, in Satyuga. Looking here at the description. Again, Maitreya is describing here that the proud and falsely glorious Daitya, or demon, paid no heed to the words of Runa. Because Runa was telling him that he was looking for someone to fight, and Runa said that when you meet Bhagavan, then you'll be defeated. Oh, dear Vidura, when Hiranyaksha, he learned from Narada Muni the whereabouts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he ran there very quickly. Taking himself to the depths of the ocean. There, Hiranyaksha saw the all-powerful Personality of Godhead in his boar incarnation, bearing the earth on the ends of his tusks, and robbing him of his splendor with his reddish eyes. The demon laughed. Oh, an amphibious beast! In other words, a water beast. Hiranyaksha said to Lord Varaha, Oh, best of the demigods, dressed, disguised in the form of a boar, just listen to me. This earth is entrusted to us demons, the inhabitants of the lower regions. But you cannot take it from my presence and not be hurt by me. In other words, Hiranyaksha is challenging him to a fight. You rascal! You have been nourished by our enemies to kill us, and you have killed some demons by remaining invisible. Oh, fool! Your power is only mystic. So today, I shall enliven all my fellow demons by killing you. When you fall dead with your skull smashed by the mace hurled by my powerful arms, the demigods and sages who offer you oblations and sacrifice in bhakti will also automatically cease to exist. Like trees without roots. Maitreya. Although Bhagavan Varaha was pained by the shaft-like abusive words of the demon Hiranyaksha, Varaha bore the pain, but seeing that the earth on the ends of his tusk was frightened, he rose out of the water, just as an elephant emerges with its female companion when assailed by an alligator. The demon Hiranyaksha had golden hair on his head and fearful tusks. He started chasing Varaha while he was rising from the water, as an alligator would chase an elephant. Roaring like thunder, Hiranyaksha said,
Are you not ashamed of running away before challenging an adversary? There is nothing reproachable for shameless creatures.
Bhagavan Varaha placed the earth within his sight on the surface of the water and transferred to her his own energy in the form of the ability to float on the water. While Hiranyaksha stood looking on, Brahma, the creator of the universe, praised the Lord, and other demigods showered flowers on Lord Varaha. Hiranyaksha had a wealth of ornaments, bangles, and beautiful golden armor on his body. He chased Varaha from behind with a great mace, which means a club. Bhagavan Varaha tolerated his piercing ill words, but in order to reply to Hiranyaksha, Varaha expressed his terrible anger. Varaha said, "Indeed, we are creatures of the jungle. We are searching after hunting dogs like you. One who is freed from the entanglement of death has no fear from the loose talk in which you are indulging, for you are bound up by the laws of death." Certainly we have stolen the charge of the inhabitants of Rasatala and have lost all shame. Although bitten by your powerful mace, I shall stay here in the water for some time, because having created enmity with a powerful enemy, I now have no place to go. You, Hiranyaksha, are supposed to be the commander of many foot soldiers, and now you may take prompt steps to overthrow us. Give up all your foolish talk and wipe out the cares of your kith and kin by slaying us. One may be proud, yet he does not deserve a seat in an assembly if he fails to fulfill his promised word. Sri Maitreya Muni said, thus challenged by Bhagavan Varaha, Hiranyaksha became angry, agitated, and he trembled in anger like a cobra that had been challenged. Hissing indignantly, all his senses shaken by anger, the demon quickly sprang upon Lord Varaha and dealt him a blow with his powerful mace. Boom! Bhagavan Varaha, however, moving slightly aside, dodged the violent attack of the mace aimed at his breast by Hiranyaksha, just as an accomplished yogi would elude death. Bhagavan Varaha now exhibited his anger and rushed to meet the demon. Hiranyaksha was biting his lip in rage. He took up his mace again and began wielding and twirling it around. Then Varaha took his mace and struck Hiranyaksha on the right of his head, eyebrow. But since the demon was expert in fighting, he protected himself by a maneuver of his own mace. In other words, Hiranyaksha used his clever mace to deflect or block Varaha's mace. In this way, Hiranyaksha and Bhagavan Varaha, they struck each other with their huge maces, each enraged and seeking his own victory. There was a keen rivalry between the two combatants. Both had sustained injuries on their bodies from the blows of each other's pointed maces, and each grew more and more enraged at the smell of blood on his person. In their eagerness to win, they performed maneuvers of various kinds, and their contest looked like an encounter between two forceful bulls for the sake of a cow. Brahma, the most independent demigod of the universe, accompanied by his followers, came to see the terrible fight for the sake of the world between the demon and the personality of Godhead, who appeared in the form of a boar. Arriving at the place of combat, Brahma, the leader of thousands of sages and transcendentalists, saw the demon, who had attained such unprecedented power
that no one could fight with him. Brahma then addressed Narayan, Bhagavan Varaha. "O Bhagavan, Hiranyaksha has proved to be a constant pinprick to the demigods, the Brahmins, cows, and innocent persons who are spotless and always dependent upon worshipping your lotus feet. Hiranyaksha has become a source of fear by unnecessarily harassing all these innocent people. Since he has attained a boon from me, he has become a demon, always searching for a proper combatant, wandering all over the universe looking for a fight. O Bhagavan, there's no need to play any more with this serpentine demon, who is always very skilled in conjuring tricks and is arrogant, self-sufficient, and most wicked. O Bhagavan, you're infallible. Please kill this sinful demon before the demoniac hour arrives of night. And he presents another formidable approach, favorable for his side. You can kill him by your internal potency without a doubt. My Lord, the darkness of evening, which covers the world, is fast approaching. Since you are the soul of all souls, kindly kill him and win victory for the demigods. Now is a very auspicious time, known as Abhijit Muhurta, which is most opportune for victory, commenced at midday and has all but passed. Therefore, in the interest of your friends, please dispose of this formidable foe quickly. Luckily for us, this demon has come of his own accord to meet you, and thus his death is ordained by you. Therefore, exhibiting your ways, kill Hiranyaksha in the duel and establish the worlds in peace." Chapter 19. The Killing of the Demon Hiranyaksha. Maitreya continued speaking. "O Vidur, after hearing Brahma's words, which were free from all sinful purposes and as sweet as nectar, Bhagavan Varaha heartily laughed and accepted Brahma's prayer with a glance laden with love. Prahasya prema garbena tad apangena so grahit. Prema garbena, laden, garba, laden with love, apangena, with a glance." So this is communication of the Lord and his devotees. The Lord just glanced lovingly. Prema garbena. First he laughed, prahasya, ah, ha, ha, ha. And glance lovingly towards Brahma. "Don't worry, it will be done. Don't have any fear. You are my beloved devotee." Prema garbena tadapangena. Tadapangena. Garbena apangena. Garbena apangena grahit. Bhagavan Vidura, who had appeared from the nostril of Brahma, sprang and aimed his club at the chin of Hiranyaksha, who was stalking fearlessly before him. Struck by the demon's mace, however, Bhagavan Varaha's mace slipped from his hand and looked splendid as it fell down, spinning in the sky. This was miraculous, for the mace was blazing wonderfully. Even though Hiranyaksha had an excellent opportunity to strike his unarmed foe without obstruction, he respected the law of chivalry by not fighting with an unarmed enemy, thereby kindling the fury of Bhagavan Varaha. As Bhagavan Varaha's mace fell to the ground, a cry of fear and alarm arose from the demigods and rishis watching in the crowd. The personality of God had acknowledged the demon's love of righteousness and therefore invoked his Sudarshan Chakra. Because he was observing the Kshatriya Dharma. Kshatriya Dharma. Manayam asa tad dharmam. As there's Dharma, there's ashram dharma, and there's varna dharma, then there's deha, which is all related to deha, deha or sharir, body dharma, body religion, duties, do's and don'ts, yama niyama, do's and don'ts of the varna, social position, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, and duties and dharmas, duties, activities of the spiritual position, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasa. So this is the kshatriya dharma, not to fight an unarmed enemy. So Krishna was acknowledging manayam asa. As the Sudarshan chakra began whirling in the hand of Varaha, the Lord contended at close quarters with the chief of his Vaikuntha attendants, who had been born as Hiranyaksha, the vile son of Diti. There issued every direction strange expressions uttered by those who were witnessing from airplanes. They had no knowledge of the Lord's reality, and they cried, "May victory attend you. Pray, dispatch him. Play no more with Hiranyaksha." When the demon Hiranyaksha saw Bhagavan Varaha with his lotus petal eyes standing before him, armed with the Sudarshan disc, Hiranyaksha's senses became overwhelmed by indignation. He began to hiss like a snake, and he bit his lips in great resentment. Hiranyaksha, who had fearful tusks, stared at the personality of God, ready to burn him. Springing into air, he aimed his mace at the Lord, exclaiming at the same time, "You are slain!" Oh, saintly Vidura. While Varaha's enemy looked on, Bhagavan Varaha, in his boar form, the enjoyer of all sacrificial offerings, playfully knocked down Hiranyaksha's mace with his left foot, even as it came upon him with the force of a tempest. Then Bhagavan Varaha said, "Pick up your weapon and try again, eager as you are to conquer me." Challenged by these words, Hiranyaksha aimed his mace at Varaha and once more loudly roared. When Varaha saw the mace flying towards him, he stood firmly where he was and caught it with the same ease as Garuda, the king of birds, would seize a serpent. Hiranyaksha's valor was frustrated. He felt humiliated and was put out of countenance. He was reluctant to take back the mace when it was offered by the personality of Godhead. Hiranyaksha now took a trident, which was as rapacious as flaming fire. Trishul. And he threw it against Varaha, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, Yajnaya. Even as one would use penance for a malevolent purpose against a holy Brahmin. Hurled by the mighty demon with all his strength, the flying trident shone brightly in the sky. However, Bhagavan Varaha tore it to pieces with his Sudarshan disc, which has a sharp-edged rim, even as Indra cut off the wing of Garuda. There's some pastime about that. Because once upon a time, Garuda, he stole a nectar pot from the demigods to liberate his mother, Vinata, from the clutches of his stepmother, Kadru, the mother of the serpents. So the mother of Garuda, of course, is an eagle, and her name is Vinata. And Kadru, I think, is a mother of Kalia, maybe. But this snake had caught his mother. So he wanted to appease her by bargaining. Garuda wanted to give a pot of nectar in exchange to liberate his mother. When Indra heard this, he was angry with Garuda for stealing that heavenly nectar, and he threw his
Vajra thunderbolt against Garuda. So just out of respect for Indra, even though Garuda is invincible, he's the Viman of Lord Narayan, but just to respect his weapon, he dropped one of his wings, which was shattered to pieces by the thunderbolt. Because when Indra throws his weapon, like he throws a Brahmastra, it has to hit some target somewhere. So if Garuda didn't accept it on his wing, it would go to someone else and knock their head off. So he just accepted it, and of course he grew back another wing immediately. So this is a comparison here, that Bhagavan Varaha tore apart the Trishul of Hiranyaksha with his disc, just like the sharp thunderbolt of Indra cut off the wing of Garuda. Hiranyaksha was enraged when his trident was cut to pieces by Varaha's Sudarshan. Therefore, he advanced towards the Lord, roaring loudly, struck his hard fist against the Lord's broad chest, which bears the mark of Shivats. Then he disappeared, using his mystic power, and became invisible. Hit in this way by Hiranyaksha, Bhagavan Varaha, who had appeared as the first boar, did not feel the least quaking in any part of his body, no trembling, no shaking, any more than an elephant would feel when struck with a wreath of flowers. Hiranyaksha employed many conjuring tricks against Bhagavan Varaha. He started using Yoga Mayeshware Haro. Oh, he used Maya. He cast Maya against Yoga Maya Ishvara. He says that Urudha Astrijat Mayam. So the demon Hiranyaksha tried to use his tantric, mystic powers and tantric, his Maya, his energy. But he didn't understand that Bhagavan Varaha is Hari, Lord Hari, the Yoga Maya Ishvara, that Bhagavan Hari Varaha, he is a controller of Yoga Maya, which is far superior to any powers contained within this Mahamaya or Maya. Fierce winds began to blow from all directions, spreading darkness occasioned by dust and hailstorms. Stones started falling down in volleys from every corner as if thrown by machine guns. The luminaries in outer space disappeared due to the skies being covered by dense clouds of darkness. There was lightning and thunder. The sky started raining pus, hair, blood, stool, urine, and bones. Mountains discharged weapons of various kinds, and naked demonesses armed with tridents appeared with their hair hanging loose. Cruel and savage slogans were uttered by hosts of ruffian yakshas and rakshasas, who all either marched on foot or rode on horses, elephants, or chariots. Bhagavan Varaha, the personal enjoyer of all sacrifices, now discharged his beloved Sudarshan, which was capable of dispersing all the magical forces displayed by the demon Hiranyaksha. At that very moment, a shudder suddenly ran through the heart of Diti, the mother of Hiranyaksha. She recalled the words of her husband, Kashyap, and blood started flowing from her breasts. Very inauspicious. When the demon saw his magic forces dispelled, once again he appeared visibly before Bhagavan Varaha. Full of rage, Hiranyaksha tried to embrace Varaha within his arms to crush him to death. But due to his amazement, he found the Lord standing outside the circle of his arms. Bhagavan is everywhere. Bhagavan is nowhere. Bhagavan is within everything and he's outside of everything. Hiranyaksha starts striking Varaha with his hard fist. But then Lord Dhaukshacha, Varaha, slapped him at the base of the ear like Indra hit the demon Vritta. Though struck indifferently by Bhagavan Varaha, the conqueror of everyone, Hiranyaksha's body began to wheel. His eyeballs bulged out of their sockets, his arms and legs broken, and the hair on his head scattered. He fell down dead, like a gigantic tree uprooted by the wind. Brahma arrived on the spot to see the fearfully tusked demon lying on the ground, biting his lip. The glow of Hiranyaksha's face was yet unfaded, and Brahma said admiringly, "Oh, who could meet such a blessed death?" Hiranyaksha was struck by the forefoot of the Lord, whom yogis, seeking freedom from their unreal material bodies, meditate upon in seclusion and mystic trance. While gazing on Bhagavan Varaha's countenance, this crest jewel of Diti's sons has cast off his mortal coil. These two personal assistants of the Lord, Supreme Lord, have been cursed, have been destined to take birth in demoniac families. After a few such births, they will return to their own positions. Now the demigods praise the Lord. "All obeisances unto you, Bhagavan Varaha. You are the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and you have assumed the form of a boar in pure goodness for the purpose of maintaining the world. Fortunately for us, this demon who was a torment to the worlds has been slain by you, and we too, O Lord, are now at ease in devotion to your lotus feet." Maitreya Muni continued, "After killing the most formidable demon Hiranyaksha, the Supreme Lord Hari, the origin of the boar species, returned to his own abode, where there is always an unlimited, uninterrupted festival. The Lord was praised by all the demigods, headed by Brahma." So he says, "Sasada yitva harir adi sukara, jagama lokam swam akanda otsavam, samirita pushkara vishtaradvi." So there's always akanda otsav, there's an unbroken festival at all times. Akandita utsav, there's always, every day is a festival in Vaikuntha in the spiritual world. Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, I've explained to you the personality of God is coming down as the first boar incarnation and killing in a great fight a demon of unprecedented prowess as if he were just a plaything. I have told you this as I heard it from my predecessor, spiritual master. What to speak of hearing about Bhagavan's Leela, his chest which is marked with Srivats. People take transcendental pleasure even hearing the works and deeds of the devotees whose fame is immortal." And Bhagavan delivered the king of elephants, Gajendra, who was attacked by an alligator and who meditated upon the lotus feet of the Lord. At that time, the female elephants who were accompanying Gajendra were crying, and the Lord saved them from the impending danger. What grateful soul is there who would not render his loving service to such a great master as the personality of Godhead? The Lord can easily be pleased by spotless devotees who resort exclusively to him for protection, though the unrighteous man finds it difficult to propitiate the Lord. Anyone who hears or chants or takes pleasure in the wonderful narration of the killing of Hiranyaksha demon by Lord Varaha, who appeared as the first boar to deliver the world, is at once relieved of the results of sinful reactions, even the killing of a brahmana. So it's a Shruti Phal, blessing, benediction. Etan maha punyam alam pavitram danyam yashashyam param ayur ashisham pranendriyanam yudishoryavardhanam narayanonte katiranga shrinvatam. This most sacred narrative confers upon one extraordinary merit, mahapunyam, wealth, fame, longevity, and all the objects of one's desire. Danyam, wealth, yasho, fame, padam, ayu, ashisham, ayu, longevity. This pavitram, mahapunyam pavitram, bestows all the objects of one's desire. On the field of battle, it promotes the strength of one's vital organs and organs of action. One who listens to this story at the last moment of life is transferred to the supreme abode of the Lord, O dear Shonaka. Narayanonte gatir anga shinvatam. Ante Narayana, we say, it says in the Shrutis, Narayana, Ante Narayana Smriti. At the end we should remember Narayan. So here it's saying, Narayana, Ante gatir anga shrinvatam. So, O Shonaka, I suppose this is Sutta Goswami. Sutta Goswami here is speaking these verses. Because he is a narration within a narration. So Sutta Goswami is narrating the narration of Maitreya Muni to Madhura about the story of Vraha and Hiranyaksha to all the sages at Naimisharanya headed by Shonaka. So in this Shruti Phal, in these closing verses, now Maitreya is not speaking to Vidura, but Sutta Goswami is speaking to his audience, headed by Shonaka Rishi and all the other 60,000 Rishis, who are listening to Sutta tell this story and repeat this narration of Maitreya and Vidura about this glorious story of Bhagavan Vraha slaying the demon Hiranyaksha in Satyuga at the beginning of creation. So thus ends the story of the killing of the demon Hiranyaksha. We heard in the description of Canto 3, Chapter 19, in verse 31, Maitreya is explaining how this Lord Varaha is the Adi Sukara. Evam Hiranyaksham Asaya Vikramam Sasara Yitva Hair Adi Sukara Jagamalokam Samakandi Totsavam Samirita Pushkara Vistaradibi. So he's saying he's the Adi Sukara. He's the original form of all the boars, the origin of the boar species, he's saying. So this same phrase of Sukara is there in the Dash Avatar Stotram by Jayadeva Goswami, where he's glorifying all the avatars, beginning with Matsya, who's the first avatar, then Kurma, the second, and the third, Vraha, the fourth, Narahari, Nrisingadev, then Vamanadev, and Parashuram, etc. Vasati dashana shikare darani tavalagana shashani kalanka kalevani magna keshavadrita shukara rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Keshavadrita Shukara Rupa, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. So in this prayer, Jayadeva Goswami is glorifying the boar incarnation, the Bhagavan Varaha avatar, the third avatar appeared in Satyuga in the beginning of creation to kill Hiranyaksha. And in this stotram, he explains, he's glorifying Jagadisha. He says, O Keshava, O Jagadish, O you who assume the form of a boar, Shukara Rupa. O Jagadish, O you who remove your devotees' sins, All glories to you, because the earth planet, which had become immersed in the ocean at the bottom of the universe, the Garbhodak ocean, sits fixed to the tip of your tusk like a spot upon the moon. So this is Shashini Kalanka, Kaleva Nimagna. So this is the Kalanka means spot. Shashi means the moon. Shashini Kalanka, Kaleva Nimagna.